Erev Tov. I first want to thank Ayelet Gottesman, Ayelet Ozar Gottesman, whose idea was to make this year, and my son Moshe, who made sure that I was able to follow the instructions so that I can appear to you for those who are watching. Last Monday, for those of you who read the Divrei Torah that I sent out, I landed in England for a scheduled visit, for scheduled interviews, Manchester and London. And as I landed in Manchester, I received the news that they were trying to resuscitate Rav Kukman. And then a half hour later, I received the news that Rav Kukman was niftar, and he left this world. The people who know me and the people who are coming to, who knew that I was coming to England, immediately wrote me that day, "Are you coming?" Because they assumed I was still in Israel, and then I was certainly would have postponed my trip to participate in the Levaya of Rav Kupperman, but I was there already and I was unable to do so. So I continued my task for Michala, and I was able to give a little bit of a hesped on Tuesday night in London. A group of people came to meet with me. Rabbi Hartman surprised us and came as well, not only to greet the people, but also to offer some Divrei Hesped. The purpose of our tonight learning is to learn aspects of Meshech Chochma, and to talk a little bit about Rav Kupperman, mostly through the vehicle of learning, Bezrat Hashem, as you're going to see as the time goes on. I wrote last week that I hoped in future Divrei Torah that I'll be able to help develop some of his Torah. I found it to be, as I began to think about what I'm going to write for this coming week, Meshech Chochma to be more challenging to write, and therefore I hope to do Sforno. Let me explain to you why it's so. I'm going to tell you an insight that I had today that I shared with Rav Kupperman's children, Yibodlu L'chaim Tovim, and they thought that I might be right, so I'm sharing with you. If they didn't think I was right, I wouldn't share it. It would be my conjecture, but I thought it, shared it with them, and they said it was so. As I was preparing not just for this year, but also for a hesped that I'm going to give in Michala for Rav Kupperman on Tuesday, I was struck by the following as I was comparing two passages. The differences in style between his commentary on Meshech Chochma and the difference in style between his commentary on the Sforno. And as I thought about it and tried to analyze it, and again validated it at least somewhat today with his children, it became very clear to me the following. When I read Rav Kupperman's commentary on Meshech Chochma, I'm reading a teacher who's taking material that is fairly clear and making it obvious to the students. When I'm reading his commentary on Sforno, I'm reading a Talmud Chacham who tries to plunge the depths that a Rishon reaches. As I was sharing this with one of his children today, his son Rav Chaim reminded me, his son Rav Chaim reminded me something that I heard before, but I forgot that Rav Kupperman had said, that creating a commentary on Meshech Chochma was Yesh Meyesh. That was already there, but one had to further it, and one had to form it to make it a usable term. To create a commentary on Sforno, to plumb its depths, a person wasn't really taking Yesh Meyesh, Yesh Meyayin. Because there was so much hidden there, he had to explore it and to understand it as a parshan, as a preliminary step, before he was able to share it with his students. And that is, as I'm thinking aloud, for those of you who are paying attention and joining us tonight, that you'll see that those of you who are teachers can learn from the teaching style that you've gathered from Rav Kupperman when you were in Michala and since you were in Michala, and see how he takes certain parts of the Meshech Chochma's commentary, which is clear, which he expresses himself in the nature of Aharon, which he explains himself fairly well, and nonetheless to see how the teacher is supposed to be the communicator of that Perush, unlike the Sforno, which is challenging in a different sense to understand the depths of a Rishon. I'll point out something else as we go on, and marveled about it as well. I've thought about it before, but sadly, his passing has brought so many things into focus. And that is, if you go through Meshech Chochma has a plethora of commentaries. He quotes from all over Shas, from all over Tanakh, from Rishonim, from Achronim, from Zohar. And it's certainly clear that Rav Koopman, who wrote much of Meshech Chochmah, learned much of Meshech Chochmah through Rav David Fuchs Shlita, that they didn't know every source that was there. Not everything that was written was clear to them where to find it. And you can imagine the hours and days finding obscure passages, sometimes when things were ambiguous, that maybe the Meshech Chochmah was referring to A, or maybe he was referring to B. So not only locating a passage, but deciding which one in particular was his particular focus. Without Bar Ilan, without Discon keys, without computer searches, it was a monumental work that took them somewhere between 12 and 14 years to learn. I'm not sure exactly how many years it took to write the commentary. It originally came out in individual volumes. Only later it came out as a set of the entire Chumash. So we are going to learn for the next number of minutes two passages from Meshech Chochmah, some of which are elucidated by Rav Koopman, some of which I myself will try to explain. But as we go on, hopefully you will see that the passages that we are going to learn themselves will be in a more appropriate hesped for Rav Koopman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, more than I myself am able to share with you. So if you'll please follow with me in the Makorot that I gave you, you'll see that there are two major Makorot, one on page one and one on page two. One on page one and one on page two. Cool. The first one, just let's take a look at the material that we have in front of us, is based on Meshech Chochmah in the beginning of Parshas Bo, the Parshas of Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, the mitzvah of taking the Korban Pesach. That's the first part. The second part on the second page is a Parsha from Shira Sayom, before Shira Sayom, of the splitting of the Red Sea. Why I chose that particular Parsha, besides the fact that we will see Bezrat Hashem, that it is certainly very much appropriate correlating the first one that we're going to learn. There's a story behind why I chose that second one as well, why it was in my mind, even though it's a different Parsha. Rav Koopman does not connect the two together, but they certainly belong connected together. So let us learn now Le'ilui Nishmas of Yehuda ben Avram Simcha, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We begin with Psukim in Shmos, Perek Yud Beis, Psukim Gimel Dalet, the mitzvah of taking the Korban Pesach. His Perush is only on the first Pasuk, but he refers to the second Pasuk as well, and therefore at the top of the page I brought both of them. The Pasuk reads, Dabru al kol adas Yisrael le'mor, Moshe and Aaron are commanded to speak to Bnei Yisrael, telling them be'asur l'chodesh hazeh, on the 10th of the month, because the Torah already introduced us to the fact that this is ha'chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim. It was rosh chodesh, just like my time right now in Israel, it's rosh chodesh Shabbat. So that was rosh chodesh Nisan. Be'asur l'chodesh hazeh, everyone is to take a lamb for each household, for each house, and for each household. The next pasuk writes, if there are too few householders to be counted on the set, because after all, everyone had to eat a kazayas to be yotze the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The pasuk says, "V'achlu es ha-basar ba-layla hazeh," eat the meat. And every time in the Torah that the word eating is used, it refers to a shir chashuv, to an important amount. And the source of Chazal teaches us that that important amount is a kazayis. So everyone has to have a kazayis. A lamb has many kazaysim. And if you don't finish it, and it's left over past the next morning, on the morning of the 15th, on the 16th of Nisan in the morning, it has to be burned. It's nosar. And if you deliberately leave it over, it's an Issa D'Oraisa. It's a love. So therefore, people were makpid to have the right number of people. They could eat more than a kazayas. They certainly were able to eat more than a kazayas. And if they had a few people, they didn't have extra food, they would only eat the meat, but they had to make the cheshbon that when they have a kazayas. Then what does the person do? And here comes the punchline that Rav Koopman is going to that the Meshech Chochmah is going to refer to. Then he and his neighbor are going to join together, taking this lamb by the census of the number of people who are able to eat, and also by the quantity that they're able to eat. Ish l'fiachso achlo, everyone according to the amount that they're able to eat. Tachos l'asa, you should count to be part of the michseh, part of the quota for that particular set. I have Rashi for you as well. Please look at the second Rashi, where the second bullet is. We'll get to the first Rashi later on, at the end of the shir. El kol adas b'nei, el kol adas Yisrael, be'asar l'chodesh, dabru hayom, b'rosh chodesh, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking at Rosh Chodesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tzivui yizer together with the tzivui of knowing when it's Rosh Chodesh, zera evu kadesh. And on this day, tell them today that they should prepare themselves that on the 10th of the month, they should take the lamb on the 10th of the month. That is a pasuk, that is Rashi. Now the Meshech Chochmah is going to take us on a new vista of this mitzvah of Be'asor L'chodesh Hazeh, and I'm incorporating much of what Rav Kuppin writes in his commentary here as well. I might not mention it separately because all the parts, some might not appear to be as essential, but we'll point out certain parts. Says the Meshech Chochmah, Be'asor L'chodesh Hazeh, Bichulem Ish Selebeis Avos Selaboyis. Says Chazal, and Rav Kuppin sorts this aside, but my disk on key didn't bring everything. I wanted to have it more concise. Say Chazal, Ze Micho Be'asor. Only this, only the Korban Pesach of Pesach Mitzrayim had to be taken on the 10th of the month, 4 days in advance, because the Korban was shechted on the 10th of the month. 4 days in advance it had to be shechted, it had to be taken and guarded, and then it was shechted on the 14th of the month. Only this, say Chazal, no other Korban Pesach was required to be taken in advance. They could be taken on the same day, they could be taken on the same day from the people who sold lambs. That's what we learn. That's what we learn in Maseches Psochim, the Gemara says. Whenever there's three dots, means that there's more to the Meshech Chochmah. I chose to leave things out. I chose to edit so we can accomplish what we're doing and focus on the theme that he wants to give. Rashi says a little bit farther in the Parshan, I did not bring this Rashi, that the reason why there was a specific command to take the lamb on the 10th of the month was to provide B'nai Yisrael with mitzvos that would make them worthy to be deserve the Geula, to deserve the Exodus. And the Rashi points out on the pasuk that talks about putting the blood on the doorpost, for you Adam lochem la'os, that the blood should be a sign for you. So the sign isn't just for God, the sign's for you, it's on the inside. What is the sign? To do tshuva. Two bloods, the Dam Mila, which was done at that evening, and Dam Korban Pesach, were the zechuyot, the merits that our ancestors had to leave the land of Egypt. That's what Chazal say, that's what Rashi says, that's what Rashi brings, and we all remember the pasuk in Yechezkel, Borelech mitbosesses b'damayich, v'omar loch b'damayich chayi, v'omar loch b'damayich chayi. You live with the blood, you live through the blood of Pesach, the blood of the Korban Pesach, the blood of Mila. That's what Chazal say, and that's not what Meshech Chochmah comes to teach us. Meshech Chochmah comes to teach us a new insight. As far as I can tell, Rav Kuppin did not cite other sources who bring this idea. This is the chiddush of the Meshech Chochmah in which he says, Mirabo, it appears for this mitzvah, O ta'amim, shepesach mitzrayim haya mikhor be'asor. Other additional reasons to explain why Pesach Mitzrayim had to precede the Korban itself, which was the 14th, it had to precede it by 4 days, being on the 10th of Nisan. Here's what the Meshech Chochmah explains. Ki ha'ashkacha rotzusa la'asosom goy mitzuyan b'ni musav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to impress upon Israel to be unique, mitzuyan. It says in the Haggadah, as Rav Kuppin brings in his Perush, to be outstanding, to be unique, to be a particular sign, a tziyun of who they were. In which way should they be unique? B'ni Musav. Ni Musav means derech eretz. Ni Musav means manners. After all, our ancestors were slaves for 210 years. They were downtrodden. They were beaten. They came to rebel even after they left Egypt. We saw the hardness that was in their hearts. They didn't have the strength to even have the patience to listen to what Moshe said. As Rashi says in Chumash, someone who has his neshimata kitzara, he's out of breath when he doesn't have patience. Altogether, they were overwhelmed. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it a beginning process from the time of the Korban Pesach that Am Yisrael should be mitzuyim, mitzuyanim in our language, b'nimusav. Why should they be so? Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. V'yu ru'uyim lahanaga mesudara u'mitnaheget tachat giduleha. Because they're going to grow, they should deserve the leadership of God, that it should also not be chaotic, should not be hefker. Their lives are orderly. They treat each one with respect. At least, shelcho shelcho sheli sheli. And if not, then, if they don't even able to reach, shelcho shelcho v'sheli shelcho. To have that way that they have an orderly life and a presentable life, a mesudar life. Mida keneged mida, they'll deserve that same order from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They won't live in a world that is chaotic. They will not live in a world in which they do not know what's going to happen from one day to the next. They won't live in a world which is topsy-turvy. The world that they will live in will have Seder, and just like the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west, so will their expectations every day not be disappointed, but they'll understand what is able to await them, that which they'll deserve. Yuchlu la'atzor ba'adma ve'ei levavam. And therefore God wants them to be able to control the desires of their heart. V'rafsein ta'avat nafsham, and to rein in the desires of their souls. And therefore they should have the ability to take something, to wait, and to be patient from the 10th day to the 4th day, to the 14th day. V'inhagu b'mishtar chazak. And if mishtar chazak in Hebrew today means strong police activity, and therefore he writes in the whatever German Yiddish this is, discipline. They should discipline their lives. Nimusim, proper derech eretz, says the Meshech Chochma, is based on discipline, self-control. A person is his own shoter, is his own officer, guides himself the way that he is intended to do. Lachein, kashish tokeku kulam liot chafshi. When they're seeking freedom, as they did, they were slaves, they're seeking freedom. And we know that when people seek freedom in an uninhibited way, that sometimes they lose control completely. We are witnesses to that in our own day and age. We're witnesses to that in history. We know how crowds can go wild. We just read in Germany last week, that's how Syrian migrants or the other North African migrants, how they celebrated their New Year. When they want to be free, they knew there was going to be this confrontation because they knew that the firstborn were going to be killed. And they would come to Moshe, and they knew that in their own mind they had no choice. They thought they would have to be their own army. God would not fight for them. They would have to be their own army to fight for them. And then many would die, because if they would enter into this role for survival, because they would be uninhibited, because they'd be frightened of their future, because they would imagine that they would believe that the penalty of the firstborn of the Egyptian would befall them, and therefore the Egyptians would attack them, they would have to enter a war, then many Jews would die. Because of this lack of discipline, because of this lack of mishtar, because of this inability to follow the instructions that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them. Who's going to speak with them? That's what they thought they were going to do. They would come out as ferocious fighters. The discipline was to teach them that until they got their marching orders from Moshe and Aaron, they didn't move. The pasuk says later on, "Nalechem baraglechem, malkochem b'makelchem b'yedchem." You're ready to go. Your staves are ready. That's what Rashi points out later in the parsha. "Vayelchu v'yasu b'nei Yisrael." They did what they were told, says Rashi. This pasuk predates they're leaving Egypt. It says that they did, and they didn't leave yet Egypt. They didn't do it, but their commitment to follow the instructions of Moshe Rabbeinu became complete. What was their ability predicated upon? What was the ability to follow the instructions of Moshe Rabbeinu predicated upon? It was predicated upon this mitzvah of Be'asor L'chodesh Hazeh, to teach individual self-discipline. To teach the individual that the individual was responsible for himself to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was appointed as a leader by the Ribbono Shel Olam, because Aaron was a spokesman, all they had in mind was the benefit of Israel. And any cheshbonos that they would make in their mind, that they would succeed more, they were able to compress them, leave them to the side, because they were able to introduce discipline for themselves. So says the Meshech Chochma, besides the need for taking the mitzvah, the Korban Pesach on the 10th of the month, as the Torah requires, as Gezeres HaKosev requires, as the Gemara says, it gives them zichyot, there was at least another side lesson that was involved. Self-discipline that would protect them in the havoc of the days that were soon to unfold if they wouldn't do anything. Because after all, Paro came out in the middle of the night and said, Moshe, Moshe, right? Paro b'pijama b'yam sahalayla, as we all know the song. This is the song. V'chol zeh kol zman shelo yishmu mipi Moshe v'aron lecha b'eskem Paro, until Paro said, go, and then Moshe nodded his head in affirmation, they wouldn't take a step. Lo yazuzu min koman, they wouldn't move from their place. V'zechinu chazak la'atzor b'rucham ke'et hazot. And this was a strong measure of chinuch, that they should control themselves. And it's not merely for the immediate benefit that they wouldn't enter war with Paro's forces and many of them would die. This was a beginning for their life that they should aspire to have in the Midbar. Maybe a life that they could not imagine as they were coming out of slavery. Maybe a life that was beyond them to understand. But this is what the Torah gave them, this opportunity to prepare them, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to lead them. Yad Hashem was nigla in the Midbar, as we know. Raglechem lo vatzeika, not like samosechem, lovo same alecha, raglechem lo vatzeika. Their clothes lasted. Their feet didn't get sore from walking in the desert. HaKadosh Baruch Hu led them in the desert as if they weren't in the desert. They had all the food and all the supplies, water and man and slav, all the things that they needed in the desert. This was the beginning. So the first lesson of Be'asor L'chodesh Hazeh, says the Meshech Chochma, is very clear. The first lesson is to speak to the individual as an individual, teach the individual self-discipline. The individual who is self-disciplined will then be ra'ui, will then deserve and merit not just the ge'ula, but the ongoing, orderly hanhoga v'kadosh baruch hu. The gilui panim, hester panim, is chaos. Hester panim is the unknown. Hester panim is when we don't know what's going to befall us. Ba'boker yomar mi'itein erev, uv'erev yomar mi'itein boker. In the morning you say, I wish it was last night, today's worse. And tonight I'll say, it was yesterday morning, it's worse, as it says in the Tokucha. That's Hester panim. Gili panim is a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu leading us. I feel his hand, it's taking me in a way of security, step by step. That's the first part that Meshech Chochma teaches us. But the Meshech Chochma says there's another aspect as well, not nearly the opposite, but a new dimension in the same broad field of what she's talking. Please look at the next column. They were told to stay in their house, as we know. They had to join their neighbors. That's Pasuk Dalet, which he didn't bring in his Dibur HaMaskil, but that I brought for you. The Pasuk says, V'lakachu u'shecheino, he joins together with his neighbor. Shebet Sidam, V'yu yoter mishesh miot elef gevarim, ben esrim, there were 600,000 men. V'im hanashim v'taf, v'yu korov l'shnei milyon. and together with the entire population, because the 600,000 was only the men between 20 and 60, so the total population is estimated 2 million. Verubama yuaniim. They were poor people. They were slaves. Matzah they ate. Poor man's bread. They did not yet borrow from Egypt and take all the riches out, so they had nothing. If you had nothing, where did they get lambs from? They had to have a steak. Poor people don't eat steak. They have bread and water. How did they get the sheep, says the Meshech Chochma in great insight? Al ze amar b'mechilta, the Mechilta, the Medrash Halacha and Shmo says, skip the parentheses, Mishchu. The Pasuk says, take for yourselves the Korban Pesach. Mi sheyesh lo. Ukachu mi shein lo. Haynu sheashrim hayu notnim lahem damim. Rich people who had money, and like in any society, there can be slaves who are rich. Not all slaves are impoverished. They gave tzedakah v'hem hayu lochim son. So there was a remarkable coming together of Am Yisrael. People who had limited resources shared the resources. Lakachu ushcheino, one in the neighbor, shared the resources. People who had no resources turned to those who had the resources, who were able to give them and allow them to have the Korban Pesach. The fact that everyone was able to have the Korban Pesach in and of itself, I'm putting words in Meshech Chochma, doesn't say so, but I think this is implicit in his words, was in effect its own miracle. Slaves are broken people. By definition, you beat one, and the other one hopes that the other one will get beaten. Comes a slave driver, comes a taskmaster with a whip to beat them. A person hopes to avoid it, knowing that maybe somebody else will get him, but at that moment he can't be merciful. He's not willing to take the beating upon his own back. He'll have it on the other person's back. Where is the society? Where is chevra in Lashon HaKodesh? Where do people have the chibur of coming together? That was the second purpose of Korban Pesach. It afforded a social network, a social fabric, maybe for the first time after 210 years, that Am Yisrael, I don't want to say form a people, but Am Yisrael's unity, at least in a little small sense. Uvizman Shadam Oker Mishkano. And let's remember, it's not just that they were poor, they were leaving. They were leaving everything behind. So whatever they had, they couldn't take with them. Halo kol prutaya kartzlo. Putting out money is expensive. You have a limited amount of money. You don't have extra money to spend. You have to take, I'll eat matzah another day. I'll have bread and water another day. I want to have the security of the money in my pocket. Chose yasu tzedaka gedola liot kol ish ochel kol alayla basar tzli. But the rich people were told to do the tzedaka, and they did. And they did. And then everyone had steak on that night. The tzedakah is collected by three people. Let's talk about what we learned. You can read the last paragraph on your own. Says the Meshech Chochma, the taking of the Korban Pesach on the 10th of the month had two goals. The first was building the character of the individual, making the individual responsible for himself, something that doesn't necessarily exist in slavery, something that doesn't exist under harsh conditions, when a person merely wants to get through the day and escape further punishment and hope to have a morsel to eat and sleep a little bit and maybe not wake up for the next day. The characters were weak. The characters were strengthened by virtue of the fact that they had self-discipline. And that self-discipline wasn't merely a means of strengthening the character per se. The point of the self-discipline was to build an individual who could stand before God, who deserved God's orderly hanhaga of his life, because he was able to reflect it in the own life of his own that he was developing. But Am Yisrael wasn't going to be made up of individuals alone. Am Yisrael was going to be made up of a society, of a group of people coming together with a common purpose. Giving the mitzvah of Be'asar LaChodesh Hazeh, which meant that people didn't have to scrounge when there was no time. Take it on the 14th, how am I going to get it? There's no opportunity. They began building social networks, social connections. Each one who had half of a penny could put it together and buy a penny and 2 pennies. And they came together. And therefore, hu u'shcheino, there became this nature of shcheinut, of neighborliness, of people who live near each other, of people who share. And then there was another level of those who didn't even have the half penny. And they were totally dependent on the wealthy people. The wealthy people whose source of wealth at that moment was going to stop. However, the wealthy people who were slaves made their money, I don't know. But ever the source, now that they were leaving Egypt and they believed it, they went, Nalechem Beraglechem, Malkochem Beyedchem. They were all ready to go out. They knew they were leaving behind everything, whatever they could take. Tzorot al Shechman, little bags on their shoulders. They didn't have anything to take with them. To spare that extra penny that the poor person should have the steak and not just the bread and water was an act of heroism. And they showed that heroism. Be'asor lachodesh hazeh is forming the community. But a community, as independent as it is of the individuals, is still made up of individuals. The community exists in its own right. The community has its own life. Soloveitchik points out in a number of times that Chazal say that the Am Yisrael doesn't die. The individuals die, Am Yisrael doesn't die. Tzibur lemeit. But you need a tzibur, and it has to be made up of individuals. So you have to have the building blocks of the individuals. The building blocks of the individuals are those who can form this connection, who can come together, who can form the fabric. And then there's something that's worthwhile joining. If I didn't have self-discipline, I wouldn't be comfortable sharing my half penny with my neighbor. If I didn't have self-discipline, I wouldn't give away from my money to somebody else to have an excess of food that they didn't need because they lived without this food before. That's the Korban Pesach that exists, making the foundation of the individual Jew of character, the individual Jew of integrity, who is then able to join with others and form the beginning fabric of the community. And why does that become important? That's the next page teaches us of the importance of that. And besides the fact this is an important passage, and many times in other shurim I've mentioned this, I've probably written about it in times that you've seen this. This was my first exposure to Meshech Chochma. I'd met Rav Kupman. He'd come to Chicago once in 68, 69. I didn't meet him personally. There was a graduation ceremony. That's when he was given his doctorate. I received some type of small degree. Then he spoke. And he had colleagues because he lived in Chicago for a number of years. And I was in the Skokie Yeshiva bookstore, 1967, 68, 69. I don't remember the year. Rav Yitzchak Sender Shlita, who was one of the Rosh Yeshiva then, now he's retired living in Lakewood. Yitzchak Sender Shlita said, "You know this book?" Pointed the Meshech Chochma. I don't know if I remember if I ever saw it before. I didn't see it before. He says, "You're supposed to learn it. And this is what you should learn." He opened to this passage right now that is going to be before us that I should learn it. I looked it over. I didn't understand it. I didn't appreciate one bit what it meant to put out a sefer like that. I didn't have the slightest idea. But this is a basic passage of Hashkofa. And you'll see not only because it's valuable to me, you'll see the connection that it has to what we just learned. The Meshech Chochma is talking about the pasuk that says, "Uvnei Yisrael uchubai bayamashah b'sochayon v'amayim hayala v'amayim lahem choma miminam u'mismolam." There were walls of water on both sides, as we know, as they cross the Suf. It's a pasuk that occurs twice. If we get a chance, we'll notice that it occurs twice, and we'll see that there's a bit of a difference between the second time and the first time. Without any seeming connection whatsoever to the pasuk, the Meshech Chochma here writes an essay. You'll see that I've left off a good deal of the essay that's here by the three dots that you'll see a few times here. The Meshech Chochma asks a basic question. We see through Jewish history, in Nach in particular, in Nevi'im in particular, we see in Jewish history that Am Yisrael had longevity. We continue to survive, even with kings who are Rishoyim. Think of Achav. Think of others. Kings who are Rishoyim. And we see at other times when kings who were Tzaddikim, such as times of David HaMelech, Yehoshua, there were battles that were fought And we lost, and we had devastating losses. People were killed. Isn't that upside down? Isn't that topsy-turvy? Why is it that Ahav could have success and times David HaMelech didn't have success? Meshech Chochmah here introduces us to extraordinary idea. If we want to understand and comprehend how God runs the world, the Meshech Chochmah can talk that way. We can only read and learn what he says. There's mitzvot that are disciplinary mitzvot. Kamo avodah zarah v'arayot. Yesh kareis uskila. V'shar mitzvot beistin. Terrible punishments for those who worship idolatry. Terrible punishments for those who are adulterers. Terrible punishments for murderers. Lo chein b'nimusiot umidot. Mitzvot that have to deal with their heretz are quite different. Kamo machloket, lashon hara, rechilut, gezel. And but Malchus, there's no Torah punishments. If I'm going to decide what is more severe, and I'm going to decide it by the measure of punishments, which isn't an unreasonable thing to do, obviously I'll say those that has terribly harsh punishments are more severe sins than those that don't have terribly harsh punishments. That seems to be an obvious outcome. But if I have that obvious outcome, I don't understand what happens in history. Well, I'm saying, because I don't understand why kings are who are wicked are successful, says the Meshech Chochmah, Ulaz Ulam Zev Davka B'yochid Ha'oseh. When the Torah talks about these terrible crimes of Avodah Zorah Gilei Arayos, it's talking about the individual's behavior. Aval Imat Tzibur Nishchatim, when the Tzibur is corrupt, B'zem Matzon Lehefech, it's absolutely the opposite. B'yushami Depeyo. The Yerushalmi says it, not the Meshech Chochmah. He's reading what Chazal say, and now he's interpreting it to make sense for us. Doro shel David kulam tzadikim hayu. We know that. V'ayidei sh'yubayim diva torim. There were informers. There were people who spoke Lashon Hara, so I guess they weren't all tzadikim. This is the language of the Gemara. Diva torim, those speak Lashon Hara. Hayu nofi b'milchama, they lost in war. There were great casualties. Aval doro shel Achav. But they didn't speak Lashon Hara because the Nevi'im were able to hide with Avadja, and no one exposed them. They were successful in war. Says the Meshech Chochmah. When the Tzibur does these terrible sins of Avodah Zarah and adultery, he's Evel, Eshet Achav. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metaheras. It said the pasuk is brought at the end of the second column. This pasuk is brought at the end of the second column. Hashem still is shochein itam. He dwells with us. Shochein, shchinut. He dwells with us even when this tumah exists. Aval b'mnim l'siot u'midot. But in terms of derech eretz, midos, lashon hara, machloket, al ze katuv, roma al shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, raise yourself up to heaven, leave this earth. Saleik, kavod yochol, saleik shechinoscha mehem. Take your shechina away from them, they don't deserve you here, because they are wicked. The pasuk is brought also at the bottom of the second column, and you'll see what it says. You'll see what it says in the second part of the pasuk. Eshkevalo hatim, the people who are flaming. What are they flaming about? What are they fiery about? Eshkevalo hatim bein hazipim, the people from Zif. Shelo hatim achar lashon hara, they were informers to Shaul HaMelech, who then killed people and chased David HaMelech back to the Gemara. Kevin shepard zubanim yisrael, since they violated basic derech eretz. Then they come with the swords and with the arrows, with violence, to be violent, to be corrupt, to steal. And therefore their midos are no good. They're just like animals of prey that just take that victimize others. As the komin kom Hashem v'lo yacher, Hashem does so immediately. He punishes them. And then he brings it. The same thing was by the Egel Hazov. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mochel after the Egel HaZov, but he wasn't mochel after the Meraglim? The next paragraph says very clearly, the last three lines of the next paragraph. Avraham Meraglim Shailo Loshin Bayem, the few Tova, they didn't recognize God's kindness to them by giving them Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim who did not appreciate that, Lo Machalem, the Egel, Avodah Zarah, Supreme Avodah Zarah, after Matan Torah, after seeing the Shechina, the greatest traitorous act that we can imagine, treachery, Shem was mochel there. They spoke Lashon Hara. God wasn't mochel. And the 40 of the deserts came about. What does this have to do with our pasuk? So the Meshech Chochma now takes the Medrash and explains the Medrash of its connection to our pasuk. Now I can understand the Midrash, which I didn't understand up until now. Hamayim lahem choma. The water was like a wall as they crossed the Yamsuf. Malamed Shomad Samo, the Sutton was there. V'amar, he said, Ribono Shlom, lo avdu avoda zara Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. Mem teshari tumo they reached. We all know that. They worshipped Avodah Zarah. Vato, Selem, Nisim, and you're breaking nature to take them across the sea? It's incomprehensible. They're no better than the Egyptians, said the Sultan, to be Melamed, Kitrug, against Israel. Vayam Mashmiya Kol Sar Shalyam. I guess there's a separate gear, so he told the Sar Shalyam they should let the waters down and to flood them. The river was, the Sar Shayam was angry at them. They deserved to be punished. Uvikesh l'tovam. And he wanted to drown them there. And therefore points out the Meshech Chochma, v'lachin ksiv chema chaser vav. In our pasuk, choma is written without a vav. The second pasuk has a vav. But choma without a vav, chet mem hei, from the word cham, anger, chema. The river, the yam, was furious with them. They didn't deserve the nisim. The yam rebelled against the act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to free them. Hainu dala nisim shasu lehem b'motziyam b'mitzrayim lo talan. But why didn't he complain when they left Egypt? Why only now, asked the Meshech Chochma, is the Sultan saying, why do they deserve the nisim when they cross the Yam? Why didn't he say, why do they deserve the nisim to have the Exodus? Mishum dehagam tayu nishchatim kamo shavdu avodah zarah v'hifiru brit milah. Even though they didn't work mekayim mitzvos, they had mem teshari tuba in Egypt. They didn't speak Lashon Hara. And that's what we just learned in the previous pasuk. That was a goal, to cement, to concretize this potential that they had. So that 4 days of mitzvah, so the Rebbe Asala Chodesh Hazeh, says the Meshech Chochma, he doesn't put the two together. I don't understand why. But to me, they flow perfectly together. That was the means by which they were concretized, and they deserved to be redeemed in spite of the Avodah Zarah. Because since they became a people, or as I said before, at least a part of a society, then they were judged by the dinim of society, not individuals. As a dinim of society, we looked at the behavior. First, they were strengthened individually, taking the egel on the 10th, and then they were strengthened as a society by having the eating the Korban Pesach together and affording the others the opportunity, either by shared resources or providing tzedakah for those who couldn't do so. Ava b'mayim, when they came to the Yamsuf, says the Meshech Chochmo. Kishenechlukul arba kitos, as Rashi will say next week's parshim, in the week after B'shalach, this one says, let's go back. This one says, do things. They had four kitos. They were no longer united. The threat of the Egyptians behind them and the sea in front of them broke them into groups. So the fabric that was created was torn apart. V'yeshamu nashuv Mitzrayimu. Hilshin shatzorich leduno tam kiyichidim, says the Sultan, says, they're individuals, they're no longer a group, and therefore they don't deserve to be saved. And therefore they're individuals. Let's look at these sins that he did as individuals, avodah zarah, should be destroyed. Ve'chatos elhem nisim. Kadosh Baruch Hu did so. I think it's a remarkable piece that these two parts come together. But I want to tell you why I chose these pieces. because I think that they embody so much of the Rav Krupman that we all know so well. The Rav Krupman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who not only gave of his teaching and his wisdom of his understanding, gave of himself. None of us, including myself, were there when he built the Michala, and know the travails that he went through. Sometimes he shared that with us, sometimes in the things that he wrote in the newsletters, and other times that he shared with you when he spoke, and in many conversations that I was zochet here as well, particularly as I became, as you will, his successor as the Menahel of the Michala for a number of years, to understand how the things work, and to be overwhelmed and astounded about the things that he had to face that I didn't have to face. I had to face a number of challenges, but I was able to face him. I had to face the challenges he did. That's why I wasn't there, so I wasn't able to face those challenges. So many of you, and the people who aren't with us now, wrote letters to the email that we sent up, Rav Krupman Zatzal, ZTL, Gmail, about the smile, about the Sefer Panim Yafos. And I want to talk about these two parts, these number of minutes that we have left. First, Rav Krupman was a person of self-discipline. There's no way to understand what he was able to accomplish. And if you'll listen to what I hope to be able to say on Tuesday in the Hesped, will be on the Michala site afterwards when I develop it well, then you'll be able to hear what I want to say about that. But he was a person of discipline. He accomplished so much. There wasn't wasted time. Otherwise, he couldn't have done what he did. There wasn't wasted time. He had goals. Baruch Hashem, God gave him the intelligence in order to know how to fulfill the goals. But it was his choice, his Bechira Chavshis, to take that intelligence and to use it the proper way. So he's an individual of discipline. Those of you who are a little bit older, remember the Rabbanit Aleha Shalom in her days of strength and power. And those who are older remember being frightened of her as well. Know that that discipline existed in the house in a way that was first and foremost directed inwardly and then shared with others as well. If you read accounts of the Rabbanit Aleha Shalom, you know that as well. Rav Krupman was a person of discipline. But sometimes when a person is a person of discipline, they don't have patience for others who are not on their madrega. They're not able to appreciate others who haven't accomplished what they've accomplished. And we know that the accomplishments of Rav Krupman are legion. And therefore, there's a sense of haughtiness. There's a sense of gaiva. There's a sense of being better than anyone else. When you have that sense, you're not able to form a community, not able to lead a group of people that are able to become cohesive, because the very presence of the person who has such a feeling is divisive in itself, divides people, doesn't allow there to be a community. And let's think for a moment of the community of Michala, not just the learning community, not just the community of Hashkofa, of that Torah is not looked, as I say in Israel, unfortunately, in some people, the Govei Naim, lowering the great people, not just that part of Pshuta Shemikra, of Torah Min HaShemayim, which he gave his life for in a very literal sense. He could have chosen a different career, would have been a famous person, a famous author, and had accolades from all parts of society. But he chose to speak the Emes. But I don't want to talk about that. You all know that you're all part of a Michala community, a community that spans 50 years, generations, grandmothers, daughters, granddaughters, people who are all not the same, who live in different communities and are not the same in the way they live. You went to Michla, I went to Michla. And then you have a bond that's there. That's the fabric that Rav Krupman was able to create. If he was a person who only had self-discipline, he couldn't have created that fabric. But because he was a person who was modest, was humble, I'll give you just one example, and I have many more, but just one example of the humility, and I know this from other people as well. I was zocha to learn Meshech Chachma times, and Sforno times. And I was zocha sometimes, as a darko shatari is, to perhaps think that something could have been explained in an additional way or in a different way. And many times I wrote out, as clearly as I could, my thoughts to Rav Krupman. Not once, was there ever a modicum of defensiveness. This is what I wrote. Can't be right. Not once. Always. It was happy, pleased to get Divrei Torah, pleased to hear. And when some thoughts were complicated, or maybe I didn't know how to explain them well, I sat with him for an hour, for 2 hours on different types of ideas, explain my ideas. Maybe sometimes I was right. Maybe often I was wrong. And I know this is so, not for myself. How do I know it? Because over the years that I was zoche to his friendship, many times he would share me. There was somebody in Switzerland who wrote to him often about Neshe Chachma. Serious criticisms of ideas, different ways. He showed it to me with pride that people criticized him. Someone from Baltimore wrote him letters all the time, and I'm sure there was much more correspondence. It was never that this is my Torah. It was always that this is God's Torah. If it's God's Torah, my job is to preserve it, to protect it, and further it on. And that's what he was able to do. Not a person who's selfish is able to do so. Not a person who sees the Torah as his personal possession, even though he was a creator of Torah. Only one who recognized at the end, despite all his accomplishments, that he was an Eved Hashem, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His self-discipline furthered that ability not to limit his contact with others, but to make him the warm, inviting, fatherly, grandfatherly, builder of people, of society that he was. Now I would like to close with this following idea, which I think expresses it better. According to Meshe Chochma, let's go back to the first page, please. According to Meshe Chochma, the taking of the Korban Pesach had a specific goal, the building of the individual and the creating of the beginning of the foundation, the fabric of the society, which would be Am Yisrael. Why was this pasuk chosen to give this idea across? Why does it come across here? What's the purpose of it coming across here? Why is this appropriate vehicle? Please read with me at the top of the first page, the pasuk again, Dabru el kol adas Yisrael lemor, you, in Lashon Rabbim, Moshe and Aaron, speak to Bnei Yisrael, and you tell them, in plural, Be'asor lachodesh hazeh, you tell them to take the animal on the 10th of the month. Says Rashi, read the first Rashi with me, please. Dabru, Lashon Aaron, Lashon Rabbim, El Kol Adas. V'chi Aaron medaber? Aaron didn't speak. Who was the speaker? V'alo kvar ne'emar, atah tedaber. Moshe was a speaker. Why was the pasuk addressed, Dabru, you, Aaron, and Moshe, speak together? Each one, Moshe and Aaron, accorded kavod to their brother. And each one said to each other, teach me. And that's how Torah is created. That's how Torah is created by this togetherness that exists. Ki'ilu shnehem medabri. The vehicle to tell us how the individual is made, the vehicle which tells us at the same time how the society is formed, only comes about because the people who convey that message are cholkim kavod zelazeh, who share kavod one with the other. And when they share kavod with one the other and say one to the other, you can teach me. I don't have all the knowledge. Teach me. Share your wisdom with me. Then the Shekhinah finds its place among them, and that's how Torah is produced. The Torah that you've learned in Michlala, the Torah that you've received from Rav Kupperman, is a Torah that is exemplified by Cholkim Kavod Zelazeh, by the Kavod that he felt not just to his peers, but to his students as well. His joy in when you had a Devar Torah, or you had a wonderful question to ask, because I know he shares it with me quite often. That's how Torah is created. That's how the individual is developed to reach his own potential. And that is how the society is created together. Yehuda ben Avram Simcha, Zichrono Livracha, he gave us so much. We took this little bit of time today, so insufficient, so small, to remember his memory, to know that what he gave us, to remind ourselves that he wants us to build ourselves as individuals to be as much as great as we can, but not out of a sense of gaiva, of a sense that we are avdei Hashem, who serve the Ribono Shel Olam. And when we do so with such an attitude, when we're part of a society, chokim kavod zeh lazeh, then surely, 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 we're able to produce the Torah that he did, replenish it, and add on to it. And all that we do as individuals in society will be le'ilui nishmaso yehei zichro baruch. Kadosh Baruch Hu should send us all b'sorot tovot.